been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning. It is 8/18/2020, August the 18th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And right now, we've got a little bit of lift underneath the wings of the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Russell 2000, gold, silver. Everybody should be happy today, except for those grumpy old bears. S&P futures up 6 this morning, 33.85. We continue to chase that 33.93 level, which is the all-time high on the S&P 500, just 8 points away from that, closing in, when we can say all-time high S&P 500. Pretty amazing when you consider what we've been through this year. Dow futures up 52 points, 27,827, and it's chasing its all-time high. It's got a little further to go, though. Its all-time high is above 29,000. NASDAQ futures, however, you're going to see another new high today for the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ hit a new high yesterday, and right now those futures up 51 points. Gold futures, Warren Buffett definitely boosting gold and gold stocks. I want to talk a little bit about that today. What does Warren see? He used to completely hate gold. Now he's buying a gold stock, not gold itself, a gold stock. That's an important distinction. Gold is at 2022 this morning, up $23 per ounce. Silver's up 83 cents, 28.50, and the bond market is quiet today. Wake up, bond market, 0.68%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Quite a day yesterday in the market with a new all-time high for the NASDAQ. I should say another new all-time high in the NASDAQ yesterday. We've got the S&P closing in on 33.93. We're about 8 points away from that, and it will be hitting a new all-time high. The Dow is closing in, but it's got to get to 29,568. Who knows? Maybe we'll see 30,000 before the end of the year. I see Goldman Sachs is upping their target price for the market for this year by a lot. We'll get to that in a little bit. Buffett certainly boosted the gold stocks yesterday. They were one of the sectors that was red hot yesterday. Another sector that was red hot yesterday was consumer discretionary. Bricks and mortar, believe it or not. And bricks and mortar is going to get another boost today with three important bricks and mortar stocks reporting earnings. I said yesterday that the bricks and mortar and the consumer discretionary sector seem to be telling us that this COVID may be running its course. Although we're still at 1,500 deaths per day, it has dropped, obviously, quite a bit here. Well, the peak was 2,500 per day, and then it went way down, and then we started to reopen, and it started to edge up again. It looks to me like we've peaked on this reopening cycle and starting to move lower now. And in the meantime, the retail stocks, bricks and mortar stocks, are acting like things are going to get better on that front. A lot yesterday taking place. The market edged up. We missed records on the S&P 500. I marked down several stocks yesterday that really caught my eye. The gold stocks, obviously. And I own three gold stocks. I'm a guy who has never really been that wild about the precious metals. You know, over the long haul, you look at the average returns, the stock market has clobbered, has run circles around. Yeah, you can take a 6 or 7 year period of time like the gold commercials do and say, look at how gold has outperformed the market. Well, you've got to take a longer period of time than that. You can't just cherry pick a period of time. Gold has been a terrible underperformer over the years, but we're entering into a new phase here in America, and gold is telling us something. What is it telling us? Well, we'll get to Warren Buffett's comments here in a bit. So we had a huge day yesterday at Gunderson Capital. Our three gold stocks rocketed higher. JD.com was a huge winner yesterday for us. That's one of our largest positions. Other things I noticed yesterday, Bitcoin seems to be a little bit like a gold surrogate almost. It acts like gold. When gold moves, Bitcoin seems to move. And I noticed a very, very strong chart. I look at GBTC every day, which is an ETF that tracks Bitcoin. I own a little bit in my own personal account just because I like the chart. Very good chart. And Bitcoin's been very strong recently. The Bitcoin-related stocks were very strong yesterday. One of those that's kind of a crossover between online retail and Bitcoin, I called it the momentum stock of the day yesterday, Overstock. Overstock.com, O-S-T-K. You can look at that chart. I sent out a tweet. I do not own Overstock.com. They've never made a penny in profit, but their sales continue to boom, and they do have Bitcoin ties. You get that one included with your 29. If you order today, we'll throw in a little bit of Bitcoin exposure with your Overstock.com, O-S-T-K. There were a couple of vaccine stocks that rallied yesterday, Novavax, and this brand-new IPO, CureVac, C-V-A-C, was red hot. And the market seemed to know that these big retailers were going to report some pretty strong earnings today, because I saw very good action yesterday in TJ Maxx, Ross Stores, Walmart, and even in L Brands and Kirkland's, a company which is kind of on the ropes. It must be the Robin Hood crowd in there trading that thing, Kirk, K-I-R-K, that were in serious rally mode yesterday. And who could not have noticed the huge move and breakout in Tesla yesterday? Tesla has gone beyond any reasonable valuation. It's a cult popular stock, and it trades on supply and demand. The supply of shares and the demand for those shares. And right now the demand continues to outstrip the supply. Elon Musk is now the fourth richest man in the world. You know, I was talking to my buddy who helped me develop the app yesterday. He's currently owns Tesla, and he was cooing about it, how much money he's made. I said, you know, Douglas, I'm here on the road while you're talking to me on a pretty crowded highway. I don't see one Tesla anywhere, but there's Fords and Chevrolets and Toyotas everywhere, and yet Tesla is this monster that dwarfs in market cap all of the others combined. I said, there's just no rationality to it whatsoever. And but it is what it is. And not only did Tesla rally, I also noticed a big rally yesterday in Lithium America, LAC, which don't forget, lithium is the energy behind the EV revolution. There have been times in the past where lithium stocks have gone on a tear. Well, they're on one of those tears again. And LAC, Lithium America, is one that really stood out to me yesterday. And also the home builders. They very strong. This is part of a demographic switch taking place in our country. away from the major cities where that have been hit not only by the pandemic, but would seem increasing crime in a lot of these major cities. And a lot of these major cities are in states that have very high tax rates. So you're seeing definitely a migration out of the major cities, out to the burbs, and the home builders are on the receiving end of that, and feeding into that the building construction stocks and the wood and timber and lumber stocks. So quite a few things taking place right now in our country and in the world brought about by COVID. And for some, like us, it's been quite a money-making opportunity here in the market. Well, where are the opportunities now? This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, NASDAQ futures up 46 right now. Dow futures up just 20. You know, just a few weeks ago, it seemed like, how come we don't own any cyclicals in the Dow? They're outperforming the NASDAQ. That didn't last very long. The NASDAQ has taken charge once again. And if you look at the disparity between the Dow returns this year and the NASDAQ returns, you'll see what I'm talking about. The market continues to favor growth over cyclicality and value. And it looks like today the NASDAQ is going to womp the Dow at the open anyways. Now, you can't be all optimistic. I've always got my eyes in the rearview mirror. There's a few disturbing things here popping up today. Well, number one, July housing starts were good. They were up 22.6% month over month. That just kind of verifies and confirms what I was just telling you about the move to the suburbs and the impact it's having on the new home builders. But at the same time, how about mortgage delinquencies? Q2, well, that's the hardest hit sector. I mean, the hardest hit period of time. That was the heart of COVID. Q2 residential mortgage delinquency rates jumped to the most in NBA survey. Well, that's a little disturbing because that would include back in 2008, 2009. But you could also say, well, we shut down our economy voluntarily, and that infected a lot of people, and now we're starting to open back up. The delinquency rate for mortgage loans on 1-4 unit residential properties spiked 386 basis points to a seasonally adjusted rate of 8.22% of all loans outstanding are now delinquent. That's the highest overall delinquency rate, actually, in 9 years, and a survey high for FHA loans. The five states with the largest quarterly increases in delinquency rates, New Jersey number one. Well, that makes sense. New Jersey was hit very hard. Nevada number two. Okay, I'm not quite, well, I would guess the casino industry there, which basically shut down. New York number three. That makes total sense. Florida number four, big tourism state. And Hawaii number five. They're behind on their mortgages, delinquent. And those are the five leading states. Now, the unemployment rate has come down. It peaked at 14.7. We're currently at 10.2. That's still too high, but it's coming down. So let's hope that this mortgage delinquency issue is temporary. Okay? Now, here's a story. Before I get to Buffett and his gold buy, Goldman Sachs hikes their year-end S&P price target. Not by just a little, but by a lot. Number one, Goldman Sachs was way behind the curve, as usual, and now they're trying to play catch-up. David Kostin and team at Goldman Sachs do some fast catching up. Okay, so the market, the S&P goes up 600 points, and then you raise your price target 600 points. How does that work? Shouldn't your price target have been 600 points higher 6 months ago? Well, this is how it works on Wall Street. Oh, yeah, we're upping our target price to where it's at now. They're hiking their year-end target price on the S&P 500 to 3,600 from 3,000. All right, I guess you get away with stuff like that. That's why these big stodgy old firms on Wall Street, wirehouse firms, that's why they own stocks like IBM and Kimberly-Clark and all of these slow growth companies of yes. This is how far behind the curve these people are. Hike their year-end target price from 3,000 to 3,600. Does that help me? Why didn't you hike it back in March when I could have made some money? Anyways, Kostin takes note of a declining equity risk premium outweighing rising bond yields. It all sounds good, but it's kind of masking them being behind the curve and combines with the firm's above consensus EPS forecast. Well, okay, whatever. They're raising their earnings estimates. Now, this is something I watch very closely. 2021, next year, the earnings estimates are for about $165 per share. They're raising their estimate to $170 per share. So obviously, to get to 3,600 target, they've got to be using a multiple of about 22. Divide 3,600 by 170, see what you get. In my head, I come up with about 22. So not only were they way behind on the curve on their target price, but they're also really bumping up their multiple that they're using. All right. Thanks, Goldman Sachs. Gold miners shine as Buffett places a bullish bet. Oh, yeah. The gold stocks were extremely hot yesterday. I own an ETF in the Best Funds Now portfolio, GDX, which is the gold miners. It was up 5.1%. So basically that sector yesterday in the market was up 5.1% yesterday. Berkshire Hathaway yesterday disclosed a surprising new stake in Barrick Gold. Well, Barrick was up 10% yesterday, although it's not really the best gold stock in my opinion, but it's the one Buffett chose. Buffett has to buy the biggest. He's limited. He can't get into Gold Fields or Anglo Gold. He's got to buy the biggest because he's got such a large fund. The other gold stocks did very, very well yesterday. The South African producers did even better yesterday. Mining and royalty streaming stocks like Wheaton and Franco-Nevada also did very good. Now, what has Buffett said about gold in the past? He's been very outspoken on that subject. Let's see. Well, I've got to find some of his past quotes here on gold. I know he said at one time you could kiss gold, but that wouldn't make it go higher. He is finally warming up to gold. Buffett may be pursuing a more perennial love, businesses with deep profits. But it wouldn't have the deep profits going forward unless he thought gold prices were going higher. Buffett at one time said he urged investors to stick to productive assets like stocks and bonds that generate cash flow. All the gold in the world, he said at that time, would amount to a cube that would fit inside a baseball diamond and wouldn't even provide emotional support. Buffett memorably wrote, "You can fondle the cube, but it will not respond," he wrote. Well, he's changed his mind on gold. He said he'd never buy tech stocks. He said he'd never buy airline stocks. Buffett sees, obviously, higher gold prices going forward. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, the market has opened. The futures look like they were wrong. The Dow is now down 15 points. S&P up 7, however. And the NASDAQ is up 47 points. So the Dow, you know, I'll tell you, the Boeing has just been a horrible stock. It seemed like a couple years ago Boeing could do nothing wrong, and then it all came crashing down, pardon the pun, and it seems like they can do nothing right anymore. They can't get any orders. They're going through layoffs, and it's a big factor on the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It's one of the reasons you're seeing a wide disparity between the performance of the Dow this year and the performance of the NASDAQ, more so than ever, it would seem. Well, one of the NASDAQ stocks that I mentioned earlier was mentioned by Piper Sandler yesterday, Overstock.com, which has had a really dicey past. Kind of had a very promotional CEO. Overstock is now a 4.7 mil. Then they got into Bitcoin mining. This stock got down to $2.53. Not that long ago, back in during the pandemic. Is that right? I just want to make sure that's the right number there. Got down, yep, $2.53, and now it's $115. Go figure that percentage gain since April. This is probably the biggest gaining stock since the pandemic, from $2.53 to $115. You mean to tell me that things at that company improved that much in that period of time? I've always found this to be a very much hyped stock, and it has Bitcoin exposure also. But suffice it to say, it's one of the hottest stocks in the entire market now. Piper Sandler calls the stock undervalued, despite the massive 480% year-to-date run-up. Piper Sandler claims there are seismic forces at work. Now, there must be something like that, that have dramatically improved the sales and profitability outlook for Overstock well into the future, says Piper analyst Peter Keith. Piper starts off coverage with an overweight rating and a price target of 140. Well, the stock's at 116 today. How could it be worth $2.50 in March? And now it's worth 140. Well, put it on your watch list, okay? It's one of those stocks that has, whether it's the Robin Hood crowd, whether the new CEO there has turned things around, I don't know. But you can't argue with what the stock has done since March. I do not own Overstock.com. Another one that seems to be a very popular stock right now, NVIDIA. I would say this has been one of my bigger mistakes over the years. For whatever reason, the growth rate out there by the analysts on NVIDIA have always been in the single digits. And that always kept me out of the stock. Yet I look at the last couple of quarters here for NVIDIA. Their earnings have grown by 136%, 105%. Their sales have grown by 41%, 39%. Is it sustainable? They're looking for 40% growth in earnings this year, 21% growth in earnings next year. The stock hit a new all-time high yesterday. Do you know that this is now a $303 billion company, NVIDIA? It's up there with Tesla. Tesla's now $342 billion in market cap. And both the Tesla and NVIDIA hit new all-time highs. Now you've got an analyst coming out, Susquehanna analyst raises NVIDIA target price from $450 to $540. And you know what? I've noticed that if an analyst hikes his target price, the stock just goes there. Like, okay, that's what it's worth, because Chris Rowland at Susquehanna said it, $540. It's going to go there, and that looks like where it's headed. It's at 495.77 today. I also noticed the big move in NVIDIA yesterday, which I don't own. Huawei, U.S. ups the pressure on Huawei. Well, that's nothing new. The stimulus plan, it continues to pretty much be a non-event. I don't think the Democrats want to stimulate the economy right before the election. That's not in their best interest. And at the same time, I don't think Trump wants to give the Democrats a bunch of money to the Postal Service right before. So here you've got this standoff as election season quickly approaches. Okay, you know, there's a funny little biotech stock that has been mistaken for Tesla in the past. It's got a very similar, just a couple of letters off, TLSA. It soars 26%. They've got a patent for use and methods of Crohn's disease. This could be a big breakthrough. This is one of the stocks I have on my watch list. TLSA, it's Tiziana Life Sciences. It had a huge move recently, and now they're closing in on maybe a new treatment for Crohn's disease. I always like to see these breakthroughs in the biotech industry. New York gyms to open next week to limited capacity, 33%. Nautilus Fitness was up, Planet Fitness, not a group I'm real interested right now. More blank check companies line up for IPOs. This is a new fad. You come up with a shell company that owns nothing, and then you look for something to buy. A lot of the electronic vehicle companies are using this pathway. Nikola did it recently. Fisker did it recently. There's another one. There's a trucking company that escapes my Shell, S-H-L-L, which recently bought a big EV electric truck and trailer maker. And now there's a bunch of them lined up, growth acquisition, OTR acquisition, Starboard Value acquisition, all planning on going public. You'll see Robinhood go public at some point in time. They just did another round of funding, boosting their valuation now to $11.2 billion. By contrast, Ameritrade is $20 billion. Robinhood, really from a standing start, grabbing the imagination of the stay-at-home crowd, I would suppose the millennials, etc., is now valued at $11 billion. It's not public, but I would predict that when it goes public, it will be one of the favorite stocks amongst the Robinhood crowd. New speculative interest helps Bitcoin to a two-year high. I already mentioned that. You can look at a chart. GBTC, the Bitcoin ETF. Man, that's a powerful chart. And like I say, I own a little bit of that in my own little personal account. And some of the Bitcoin stocks are also been on the move. Riot, which I remember when Riot got up to $46 a share. Now it's $4 a share. It's making noise again. I'm sure the Robin Hood guys are all over it. Walmart. Okay, yesterday, consumer discretionary stocks red hot. And look what happens today. Walmart beats earnings by 31 cents. They crushed it. And Walmart is breaking out to a new all-time high today at $384 billion. Imagine that. Tesla and Walmart are about the same market cap. The same market cap. How much does Walmart sell per year versus what Tesla? How many? I pass more Walmarts on the road, it seems like, going into town than I do Tesla. But anyways, they're about the same market cap. Huge move for Walmart today. It's up 0.5%. But that's a huge earnings beat. Kohl's, which I don't understand how they even stay in business. They beat earnings. Stock down 12%, however. Home Depot, a favorite amongst the COVID crowd. It's one of the places that remained open all during COVID. It's down, however, 2.4%. I don't own any of those stocks, Kohl's, Walmart, or Home Depot, but very good comparable store sales. One more, American Auto Parts also beats earnings. It seems like the consumer is back, mask and all. Not to rob the store, but to buy some fan belts and some windshield wipers and brake fluid, things like this. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. Boy, we're having another big day so far. Overall, we're up 0.8%, with the Dow up 0.01%, and the NASDAQ up 0.6%. So we're doing much better than the markets today. JD is another big, big winner today. Holy cow. JD.com, which was my featured stock of the day yesterday, one of our largest positions, rocketing higher again today. So I can't make it my featured stock of the day. I'm actually going to feature a stock that I do not own. It looks like I sold it a little too early. Maybe you got to get back into this one. It's one that Tencent Holdings has a big investment in. It's a Singapore-based company. It's one of the most popular, maybe the most popular digital entertainment stock company in Southeast Asia and e-commerce. There's kind of like, if you, Alibaba is the big one, okay? It's the equivalent to Amazon in America. Alibaba, $670 billion. Alibaba's, you know, it it tries to break out and then it doesn't. Okay, then you go into second place. JD.com is $88 billion in market cap. They're a competitor to Alibaba, and it is busting loose again today, up another 5.8%. Then there's kind of a third one in this triage here called Sea Limited, C-S-E-A, like the ocean, and the symbol is S-E. I made a lot of money in this stock a while back in my emerging growth portfolio. It's a play on online, not wanting to go to the store and all this demographic that has really changed the face of retail. SE just reported a quarter where their sales were up 102%. They reported today. Last quarter, their sales were up 103%. The quarter before that, 174%. And the quarter before that, 198%. Go ahead, buy Kimberly Clark, whatever. This is a growth stock. SEC Limited is up 290% so far this year. I sold it for a huge profit not too long ago. Well, it keeps going up, and I have to reevaluate that. Which begs the question, why would you sell something and then get back into it at a higher price? I've done that many times in my career. Let me ask you, as a trader, have you ever made a mistake in the market? Have you ever sold something you wish you would have never sold? We've all done that many, many, many times. My friend Douglas was talking to me about how he bought Tesla at one point in time for 40, and he sold it for 80. Well, he's back in it, you know, and he's been in it for some time. It's at 1500 now. There's nothing wrong with admitting you were wrong, okay? Yeah, you missed out on a lot of money in the interim, but it's better to rectify a mistake than to stubbornly say, oh, I was right for selling it back then. Well, it looks like I might have been wrong for selling my C Limited, even though it was very profitable trade for me. But this thing continues to go higher, and it continues to rock with their growth in sales. They're not profitable yet, but their growth in sales. Now, one thing I will say is you can get exposure to a lot of these leading companies in Asia through Tencent Holdings. Tencent is kind of like a SoftBank out of Japan. It's kind of a little mutual fund or ETF of a lot of these fast-growing companies, and they have a big stake in Tencent or in C Limited. They also have a big stake in TikTok too. So there's downsides. You know, I mean, SoftBank has made a lot of mistakes over the years, but it's been a pretty good performer, and so has Tencent Holding. So back to C Limited. It's currently ranked number 201. It finally has a ranking because it's only been public for a few years. This thing has gone, and during the pandemic, it was at about $40 per share, and now it's at $150 per share, breaking out today after smashing their sales estimates, and their momentum grade is currently A+, one of the strongest stocks in the entire market. We'll make that our featured stock of the day. I don't currently own it, but there are times when you have to admit mistakes and get back into stocks. Now, I haven't decided whether I'm going to do that or not, but this certainly makes my eyes pop out today and makes me say, you know what? I've got to reevaluate this thing. S-E. All right. Well, we continue to be extremely busy here at Gunderson Capital. My advisors that help me out take the load off of me so I can focus on what I do best, and that is research, manage money, look at stocks, trying to whittle it down to those best stocks now, which is quite a fun process that I certainly do enjoy. I have products for the do-it-yourselfer through the app, the newsletter, my live trading subscription, which has really grown this year. Happy for that. And our money under management has grown tremendously this year. If you've got the time, well, I've got the products. If you don't have the time, turn it over to myself and our team to manage the money for you, whether you're down on the safer side of the spectrum or way out here at the SE Limited, the emerging growth, ultra growth, or if you want to mix some of that in, you can mix or match. I manage with Paul five different portfolios that range from the very conservative to very aggressive. Each portfolio, you know, the bond positions, we own about 12 or 13. Stocks, I like to own about 20 to 25 in a portfolio. And without any trading fees these days, you can mix and match and not have to worry about trading fees eating into it if you want to mix a few portfolios together in your portfolio and have me manage it for you. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST or get the newsletter and see how we're doing at GundersonCapital.com. All right, have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.